Earlier today, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig approved the trade of Alex Rodriguez to the New York Yankees. A-Rod, as he's known, is generally regarded as the best player in the game, and he now joins what was already a roster of all-stars in the Bronx. The deal will reverberate through every city in the major leagues, but nowhere more than in Boston, where the Yankees' arch-rivals, the Red Sox, thought they had a trade for Rodriguez just a couple of weeks ago. Whether you root for or against, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. This bulletin just handed me the phones are working again, so we will have less trouble this segment than we did in our previous one. Joining us now is Alan Schwartz, a senior writer for Baseball America, who's with us from his home office in Manhattan, and good to talk to you again.
Nice to hear from you, too.
How big a surprise is this?
Well, it's pretty shocking. I think that we all wondered what the Yankees had up their sleeves when Aaron Boone, their incumbent third baseman, who, by the way, broke the heart of the Red Sox with his home run in the 11th inning of Game 7 of the Championship Series last year, you know, he hurt his ankle. He's out for the year, presumably, and so the Yankees had to find a third baseman. Boy, did they.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Aaron Boone has broken the Red Sox hearts again.
Within the space of 4 months. This is not just one player involved. An all-star second baseman goes from the Yankees to the Texas Rangers.
That's true. A much less expensive player. And, you know, he's a good player. I think that the Yankees were very concerned with his approach at the plate. A lot has been learned through statistics over the past 10 or 15 years, and players with such a poor idea of the strike zone, they swing at a lot of things, they don't walk much, those players tend to get figured out more than those who don't understand the strike zone well, and Alfonso Soriano is a player who demonstrated, particularly in the playoffs last year, that he is vulnerable. And I think the Yankees sold high. I think they did a fantastic job.
And, of course, Soriano, a second baseman, but a shortstop by preference and by trade, and a defensive liability at second base.
Oh, he's brutal at second base. He goes to his right about as well as Ralph Nader does, I think.
Well, you're there in New York City, and I'm sure saw the interesting item in the New York Times today that did a financial analysis of how much money the Yankees are going to end up paying, given that they're losing Alfonso Soriano's $5.5 million salary, that they will presumably cut Aaron Boone, whose contract does not permit him to play the pickup basketball game in which he was injured, and that's another $4.3 million save. They have allowed their one-time third-base prospect, Drew Henson, to abandon his dreams of baseball and go back to pursuing professional football. That'll save them $4 million. Everything's added up. The addition to the Yankees' payroll this year is $750,000.
What happened here was the Yankees got extraordinarily lucky. It didn't have that much to do with finances, as much as it had to do with their third baseman, to whom they had committed $4.5 million, or you know, 14 point, whatever it was, you know, all the money that they had to pay Aaron Boone, they now basically don't have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
All the money they had to pay Drew Henson to not play third base,
right,
they don't have to pay him. And so next thing you know, they had all this financial flexibility thrown in their lap. And when they could get rid of Soriano, who they did not feel was a long-term asset, or certainly not as much as his home runs and RBIs might have suggested, all of a sudden, they had an opportunity to put the best player in baseball in their lineup, and a guy who a lot of his salary is being paid by the Texas Rangers over the next several years. It's absolutely phenomenal how lucky the Yankees got, and I don't think they'd be too proud to say so.
Now, financial flexibility, that's a flexibility if you're willing to conjure with the idea of a payroll of about $184 million a year, or just about the entire Central Division combined.
Well, sure, but the point is that this isn't something where they decided, okay, we're going to pay Alex Rodriguez $25 million where we were paying nobody anything before. And this is something where they lost the commitments they had to Aaron Boone and Drew Henson and sort of Alfonso Soriano, and added Alex Rodriguez. I mean, it wasn't something. I mean, they have a lot of money committed into the future now, but it's nothing that they can't withstand, nothing that they're not prepared to pay, nothing that their market won't support. This is something where they really just got incredibly lucky about suddenly not having to pay Boone and Henson, you know, to play third base. So they went out and got A-Rod. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how lucky they got.
Let's test the reliability of our new phone system, or the one that's been repaired. Aaron, you're on the line from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the situation at hand. And I guess I don't really have a question so much as a comment, see if I can get some feedback from you guys.
Everybody has a comment, Aaron. Go ahead.
Well, I'm calling on behalf of my fiancé, who's an avid Seattle Mariners fan, who's very disheartened to hear that A-Rod was going to the Yankees. It just seems to me that every year the Yankees get all these wonderful players, and it's like, where does the money stop when it becomes more of a corporation than a sport, it seems like? And there's no buck that they're not willing to pay for the best players, and every year it seems to be this big corporation that the teams are going up against, and it doesn't seem like baseball, you know?
I think the phrase you're looking for, Aaron, was evil empire.
Yeah. Really, truly it is. I mean, baseball is one of the oldest, most historical sports, and it seems like it's turning into this big, giant corporation. It's just really kind of disheartening, and it's like the Yankees get all these great players. They have all this money, all this energy into the Yankees every year. It's just, it's too much.
Aaron, I'm sure your boyfriend would be the first to point out that with all those players and all those salaries, the Yankees have not won the World Series the last couple of 3 years, even though they were in two of the last three World Series. So a big payroll does not guarantee the ultimate prize.
No, but that doesn't mean that that's going to stop them from trying to. I mean, if we're win the World Series, but win the World Series at the cost of getting these players who they think are going to help them. And obviously they haven't, because they haven't won the World Series, and you and I both know that, but it's not fair, I guess. I know that life is not fair, but in the sense of sports and when it comes to competition and real sports, you know,
well, let's put that
money
down.
Is just the issue, and I think that that's too bad.
Okay, Aaron, thanks very much. And Alan Schwartz, you know, there is a competitive aspect to this. The Yankees and the Red Sox, number two in salary, in the a distant second to the Yankees, but whoever's third is a distant third to the Red Sox. Everybody else is playing catch up.
No, that's true, and I frankly don't think it's to the benefit of baseball for this dynamic to continue. Keep in mind that the complaints of the last caller, or the concerns of the last caller, while completely legitimate, have also been expressed by people over the past 100 years. I mean, this is something everybody has said how much is enough to the Yankees and George Steinbrenner ever since he started buying free agents in 1975 and 1976. I mean, he has had this type of advantage ever since. And I think that right now, it's just not interesting, in my opinion, to have the Yankees be able to reload every year and be able to be the favorites in the American League for the World Series every year. I just don't think it's very interesting. I'm losing interest, for crying out loud. I mean, I thought it was great that Boston had gotten Curt Schilling, the all-star right-hander. They'd gotten a great reliever in Keith Foulke. Yes, they had not acquired Alex Rodriguez, but they still had the most potent lineup in the league. And here was a situation where the Red Sox, in my opinion, were coming into the season with a better team than the Yankees. So let's see, can they knock them off? Well, now, you know, the Yankees just go out and get the best player in the game. I'm not sure how much it really makes them better for this year. I think they're unquestionably 3 or 4 or 5 games better. But, you know, I just don't think it's very interesting that the Yankees can solve their problems by just going out and getting the Mike Mussinas, the Jason Giambis, and the all-stars, to, you know, which we've become accustomed to. I just don't think it's very interesting.
If you're just tuning in, earlier today, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig did approve the trade of all-star Alex Rodriguez from the Texas Rangers to the New York Yankees in exchange for Alfonso Soriano and the all-time favorite of everybody, a player to be named later. We're speaking with Alan Schwartz, a senior writer for Baseball America. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Drew in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Drew.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I can't say this to my many Yankee fan friends and whatnot, but I'll say it here. Who cares? Let's play.
Ah.
I like it. I like that attitude.
Diamondbacks, Angels, Marlins, no Yankees for 3 years. Minnesota, Oakland, they get into the playoffs with tiny payrolls. Seattle never did much with Griffey and Johnson and A-Rod. You still got to play. This isn't rotisserie ball.
And as somebody's pointed out, Alex Rodriguez can't pitch.
He can't pitch, and got big numbers, but let's just go play, please.
I the phrase pitchers and catchers report can't come too soon.
You got it.
It's been a long winter, Drew.
Yes,
thanks
it
for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to John, and John's with us from Elroy, Wisconsin.
Yeah, hi, Neil. How's it going?
Okay.
Good. I just like to make a comment that until pro baseball has a salary cap, your smaller market teams aren't even going to have a chance. And I just think that's the way football went. They want the salary caps, and you see these teams like Carolina's, and even though they're an expansion team, they have a chance to get in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to have that chance for, let's say, the Padres or my team, the Brewers, okay? The Brewers just lost Richie Sexton. I mean, he's one of the best players to come along in the Brewers since Paul Molitor. And being a kid in the 70s and 80s, I really watched the Brewers, but when they got rid of Paul Molitor, I kind of quit watching them, and it's just kind of funny that Bud Selig,
whose daughter owns the team,
yeah, who's basically running into the ground, and there's going to be an investigation on the finances of the Brewers. Because of that, I think that until they impose a salary cap, to make things more even and more fair, you're going to see this, and it's just, year by year, I'm losing interest in baseball, and baseball is what I used to do in college and high school. So,
well, let's get a comment from Alan Schwartz. If you look at the television ratings from last fall's playoffs, they were the best for baseball in many years.
Well, I would like to just respond real quick to the caller from Wisconsin. I guarantee you that the institution of a salary cap would not make Brewers management smarter. The Brewers are terrible because they've operated their franchise so poorly that they don't have any good players and they're hemorrhaging money.
Well, there again, that's where Bud Selig comes in. He's ruined the team.
Right. But all I'm saying is that a salary cap would not fix that.
Well,
a salary cap, in fact, would not really have altered this transaction that we're talking about now, this Alex Rodriguez transaction, wouldn't have changed it probably that much. But in terms of the ratings for baseball, yes, baseball is very healthy these days. There's no question about it. I've maintained it would, in the throes of the 95 strike, it's a very cyclical thing. Everyone's saying baseball will never recover. Well, of course it did with the Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa stuff in 98, and it's since gotten stronger and stronger.
Let's get another
question. The question is whether it could be better, and it should be better, and there should be more teams with a legitimate chance and legitimate hope at the beginning of the year to create more intrigue throughout the country. That's all.
Nick joins us now on the line from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, how you doing, Neil?
Okay.
Just expanding on that a bit, as being a Baltimore fan, everyone's talking about getting into the playoffs and going to the World Series, but and Baltimore did really well in the off season as far as getting some great players, but in one foul swoop, it seems like the season's over for us already. And, it just kind of takes the wind out of our sails for the entire season. I mean, being in the AL East, we have to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox all season long.
You have to play both those teams 19 times.
Yeah. And for other teams, in the playoffs, it's a much shorter stretch, and the chances of beating the Yankees are much higher. But over the course of the whole season, the chances are much lower. And once again, I have to say that I think salary caps would help. If there was a salary cap for $150 million, then the Yankees, I think this pushed them over $200 million, right?
It depends on how you calculate it, but it's certainly in that ballpark. Alan Schwartz, as you look at it, and again, going back not necessarily to the Orioles situation, but to the Brewers perhaps, there was an argument this winter that maybe the situation is the bad team is not the Yankees who spend a lot, but the teams like the Brewers who don't spend almost anything.
Right. I mean, they've... They've operated their franchise with such resounding and consistent incompetence that they don't have any money to spend. And so they cut their payroll and cut their payroll. Heck, they just sold their taxpayers on an $8 zillion brand-new stadium and have been cutting their payroll ever since. And, of course, attendance has gone down. I mean, the Brewers, to be honest, the Brewers are a special situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers are just so badly run that they should not be used as the standard bearer for small market clubs.
But you can certainly understand the frustrations of the Orioles, who did go out and improve their team this winter, or last year's Kansas City Royals, who did such a great job, really challenged for much of the year, had a lot of hope for this season, and suddenly that's becoming more and more distant a prospect. Alan Schwartz, however, we can look forward to the crack of the bat this spring, I can think later this week.
Yes, yeah, I'm actually flying down to Florida a week from tomorrow.
It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.